The Ramah writes in Or HaChaim Simon, Tafresh Lamates, Seif Zion, Kol HaPater Min HaSukkah, Veinu Yotze Misham, Einu Makabel Schar, Veinu Ela Hed Yotus. If someone is exempt from the Sukkah, meaning if it's he's mitzvah, he's in a state of suffering because it's raining, and he doesn't leave, he doesn't receive reward, but it's more than that. He is a hedyot, he is a fool, a simpleton. And the Ramah cites this halacha from the Agos Mamani. Also Agos Mamani in Hilchos Lula of Perek Vav Halacha Gimel cites a Yerushalmi, which says a kol shepater min adav voseo nikra hedyot. That anyone who is exempt from something and he does it, he is called a hedyot, he is called a fool. And this Yerushalmi is found in Maseches Brachos Perek Beis Halacha Tes, where there are actually two different cases that are brought in this context. The first case is when Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak and Rav Yasa were sitting down to eat, and they were eating, and then it came time to daven, and Rabbi Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak got up to daven, and Rav Meisha said, "Why'd you get up to daven? Isn't the halacha that when if you started a meal and the time comes to daven, you don't have to get up to daven?" And more than that, Chizkiah said, "Call me Shehu Pater Midavar Voseho Nikra Hedyot." Anyone who's exempt from something and he does it is called a simpleton, is called a fool. It's a negative. And we have a second case, which is that a chasan is exempt from reciting Kriyashma. A groom on his wedding night is exempt from Kriyashma because he's thinking about the wedding night. He can't focus, so his halacha is that he's exempt from Kriyashma. But it says that if he wants to, he can. So, but how can he do that? Isn't this also a case of where he is a hedyot? He's exempt from something, he's doing it. Isn't he a hedyot? And then the Yerushalmi says, yeah, but Rabbi Gamliel says you can do it because, or at least he felt he wanted to do it. He was on his wedding night, he recited Kriyat Shema because he felt, "Eini shamei lachem levatam imenei machu shemaim." I don't want to lose the opportunity to accept Ol Machu Shemaim, the kingdom of Hashem on me, even though I am a chasan. But we have this concept of kol mi shepater midavar v'oser nikra hedyot in this Yerushalmi, which seems to be the source for this halacha in Sukkah. The person exempt from Sukkah because it's raining, he's a hedyot, he's a simpleton, he's a fool from this Yerushalmi. It's not clear at this point whether we accept this position or not, but it seems, and just one more, I guess, Gemara. The Gemara tells us that in Brachos Daf Tez Ayman Beis, discussing about this case of the Chasan, if he wants to recite Kriyat Shema, he's the first opinion says that he can, but then Rosh Gamliel says, "Lo kol rotzi litol Hashem yitol." Not everyone who wants to take hold of God's name, not everyone who wants to recite Kriyat Shema when he's a chasan should be allowed to do that. So he's not so happy about this, presumably for the same reason. So first of all, what's the concern of doing a mitzvah, of doing something that you're exempt from? What's the concern of sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, or perhaps reciting Kriyat Shema when you're exempt, or perhaps davening when you're exempt at this point because you're in the middle of meal? Why is there this concern such that if you do these things when you're exempt, then you're called a hedyot? So the simple understanding is what the Maharam Padua said. Maharam Padua says that in Simon Lamentes, in his Chuvos, he says that kol ha pater min adavar oseo nikra hedyot. Anyone who's exempt from something and does it is called a hedyot, a simpleton. Afi macherim einam paturim v'osim v'hu pater v'osei. Even if others are not exempt, but he does and they do it, but he is exempt and he does it. Nira ki yuhara. It appears like he is it appears like yuhara. What's yuhara? Religious arrogance. Here I'm exempt from something, and look at me. I am high and mighty. I'm doing this. There's an appearance that I'm doing this to show that I am such a wonderful person. So the question, though, is when is a chumrah okay and when is a chumrah not okay? Now, obviously, if you are machmir, let's say there's a machlokes, there's a debate among rishonim or achronim, and it's not clear what the consensus is. the halacha has not been established by one party or another party. So you can say, just to be on the safe side, I'm going to take the most stringent position. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something where it's clear that you are exempt mitzat halacha, then you do it. When do we say that it's okay for you to do it? And when do we say that it's not okay, you're called a fool? And it's very clear that there are many instances when someone is exempt from a mitzvah and halacha praises or accepts the fact that someone can do the mitzvah even if he or she is exempt. The whole notion of women performing mitzvah shaman grama. What's a mitzvah shaman grama? A positive time mount commandment. A woman waves a lulav, a woman sits in the sukkah, a woman hears shofar. All those cases, a woman's exempt from shofar, from sukkah, from lulav, and yet if she does it, we don't say she's a hedgehog, she's a simpleton, she's a fool. It's a nice thing. She's performing a mitzvah. It's a wonderful thing. The whole concept of gadol mitzvah v'osa, the Gemara in Kiddushin, gadol mitzvah v'osa, mimi she'ino mitzvah v'osa, that the Gemara there says, according to one opinion, that someone who does a mitzvah for which he is commanded to do receives more reward than if he's not commanded to do it. But what does that mean? What's the implication? That if he's not commanded to do it, he still gets reward. It may not be as great as the person who was commanded. And the reason is that this Tosa suggests, because if you're commanded to do a mitzvah, there's greater reward because our Yetzer Hara tends to convince us, our evil inclination tends to convince us not to do something that we're commanded to do. Sometimes it's much easier to volunteer, but once we're told to do something, there's a greater desire not to listen. Again, we can discuss, debate, but the point being that according to that Gemara, someone who's not commanded still receives reward. Isn't that a chumrah? Why is that person not a hedyot? And in fact, even the concept of sukkah, we know that you're exempt, let's say, from having, you don't technically have to have snacks in the sukkah. But the Shulchan Aruch still writes that if you drink water in the sukkah, tava lo bracha, you're blessed. Why? It's a chumrah. So in other words, when is performing a chumrah a good thing, and when do we frown upon someone who performs a chumrah? So first of all, there's a tshuva in the Be'er Sheva Siman Chav Aleph, where he discusses that in Meseches Shabbos, in the second parak, where there's a debate between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva as to whether you must light with a wick that is singed, because Rabbi Eliezer says you should light with a wick that's singed, because if it's not singed, it may not light as well, and then there's a concern, because it's not lit as well, you might start playing with the fire on Shabbos. And Rabbi Akiva says, we're not concerned about this. We hold like Rabbi Akiva. So the Be'er Sheva says, wait a second. The Rosh writes that all the women, they follow the custom like Rabbi Lezer. It's a chumrah. We don't hold like Rabbi Lezer. We hold like Rabbi Akiva. How can they do this? Isn't the case of Yerushalmi says, kol ha'patur min ha'davar oseh nikra hedyot. If anyone's exempt from something, they do it. They're called the hedyot, a fool, a simpleton. So how can the Rosh say this is a nice custom that the women do? And the Be'er Sheva answers, he says, it's that the principle of kol ha'patur min ha'davar oseh nikra hedyot, the only time that you're a simpleton is when you do not perform a positive mitzvah. When you're exempt from a positive mitzvah and you do it, then you're called a simpleton. But if you're simply engaged in a behavior, or you restrict yourself so you don't violate a prohibition, then that's not a concern. In other words, technically speaking, we didn't make a gzeira about that you have to use a singed wick. But if you want to do it because you're concerned that if you don't use a singed wick, you might light the fire. In other words, you're engaged in a chumrah to prevent you from possibly violating an aveira, so then that's okay. That's not what the Yerushalmi's talking about. Yerushalmi's only talking about you're called a hedyot if you're exempt from performing a positive mitzvah and you perform it. That's one point. The second point, just again, is the chidah. The chidah in a sefer Petach Einayim on the Gemara Bava Metzia Daf Lamed Amud Beis. And there, the Chidah writes that I was in this town, Na'amon, not sure where that is, but I was sitting with a bunch of rabbis, and we're discussing the following question. The Rambam writes that, let's say someone finds a lost object. And the halacha is that if a very chashuv person, let's say a very respected person, finds a lost object, and it's not perceived as kavod, respectful for him, people see him on the street dealing with this lost object, it's not perceived as respectful to him, to degrading to him to deal with this lost object, he is exempt from the mitzvah of hashavas aveda. If it's eino lefi chvodo, if it's not respectful for the person to deal with it, then he's potter, he's exempt. But the Rambam writes that kaimalan kol potter min adav. I'm sorry. The Rambam writes haholich b'derech hatov ayashiv. If someone goes, follows in the path that is good, that is right, va'osel if nimishur sin, he goes above and beyond, machzir aveda b'chol makom. He should return. He returns the lost object in any place. Va'afal b'sheni lefi chvodo. Even if it's not according to his honor. The question is, though, but don't we say, but this person is exempt from performing this positive mitzvah, and nevertheless, with the Rambam writes it's a good thing, why is he not called a simpleton? So here, the Chiddush says, no, when do we say, that's only when mitzvahs b'dam l'makom. When it comes to mitzvahs b'dam l'chavero, interpersonal mitzvahs, you could always be machber. You could always be strict to do what you are technically exempt to do when it comes to dealing with other people. When it comes to mitzvahs b'dam l'makom, so then we're concerned about issues of acting like a hedger, like a simpleton, and maybe this issue of yuhara, of religious arrogance, appearance of religious arrogance. But when we're dealing with a mitzvah, Beit Adam Lachaveiro, mitzvah Beit Adam Lachaveiro, then clearly you could be machmir, you could be strict. So again, this we're narrowing the principle of the Rishalmi, of when are you called a simpleton. So again, if you engage in astringency to as a way to prevent you from sinning, that's okay. If you engage in astringency in Beit Adam Lachaveiro, that's okay. And again, I just want to say in general, obviously we're talking about a case where it's only affecting you. Sometimes if you're strict, that impacts someone else, that's a different conversation. I'm just talking about engage in an act of stringency, that there are no other downsides other than doing something that you're not obligated to do so. But we have, again, so we're not talking about separating from stringency to separate from sin. We're not talking about Bina Machaver. We're talking about Bina Machaver. Now the Me'iri in Maseches Bava Kama, Daf Pei Zayim and Aleph says that anything that you do, that you're doing it because of seichel or musr or hachna slave, you're doing it for some logical reason, you're getting stringency for a logical reason, or for musr, or for some sense of humility, there's some value that you're doing it. Not simply, I'm doing it just to be strict. But if there's some inherent value, like it sounds like probably a reasonable value, that you're doing this because you feel it's going to improve you, make you a better person. Not simply, I'm doing this because I want to be strict. If you're doing it for some sense of humility or to learn something, so then you're not called a fool. It would seem, according to this Me'iri, that the Me'iri believes that this position of the Yerushalmi, that reciting the Chassan when he's reciting Kriyat Shema, or someone who gets up from his meal to daven, surely in those instances, the person is getting up for a spiritual reason. He wants to be Makabal Omachu Shema, he wants to daven for Hashem. So it seemed that the Me'iri believes that the Yerushalmi, that this concept, that in these two cases of davening when you're exempt to start a meal, or a chasam or saying kriyat shema, at the end of the day, those cases you would not be called a fool. You'd have to say that the Me'iri is inconsistent with those two positions, if the conclusion is that those two positions are indeed a hedyot situation. There's a Shvus Yaakov that says that maybe it's this halacha of if you do a mitzvah that you're exempt from, I wonder, is it only a sukkah halacha? Maybe it's not a broader halacha. Maybe it's a sukkah halacha. It's true, the Rama gets it from the Hagolos Maimonios, the Hagolos Maimonios quotes Yerushalmi, but you could argue that this exemption, or this the person who sits in sukkah when it rains is called the hedyot, is maybe a limited to a sukkah halacha, because we know that Shus Yaakov Chelak Gimel Siman Memhei writes that the Gemara is medama din zeh le'evet shemozo mozik kos the rabba v'shavcho apadav. It's talking about it's comparable to a case where it rains, where a slave pours a cup of wine for his master v'shavcho, and he spills it in his face. V'miachsor, the master spills in the servant's face. V'miachsor limzog bal korcha b'vada yachis alav. And if the slave or the servant mixes the drink again and pours it again for the master, certainly the master will get upset at him. Kivan shiba sarev osa nega ritzoto, because he's not doing what he wants. But vali nigra chatzit shot tevehenyo, he's certainly called a fool. In other words, you could argue that maybe sukkah in the rain is an exception to the rule. It's true you're called a chatzit shote, but that's because specifically, it's not something that Hashem says you're exempt, but it's a sign that Hashem does not want you to sit in the sukkah. The imagery of the Gemara of the master is pouring the wine on his face. Again, it's a question of who's doing what to whom. But according to Shvus Yaakov, let's say that the master is pouring the wine because Shporcha's words is saying, get out of here. I don't want you to be here. So maybe specifically with sukkah, you're a chassid shota because there's a real negative. God is telling you, don't stay in the sukkah when it's raining. The Vilna Gaon explains that there's a distinction between two different types of cases when you're a fool, when you're not a fool, when you're exempt from a mitzvah. And he explains, this is in Shnos Elio HaKatzar, Meseches Brachos, Perakach, Mishagimel. Essentially, he makes a distinction between something which is a mitzvah be'etzem, something which is, there's a mitzvah to do, Elo Shlo Tzrichu Chachamim Mimosim, but the Chachamim don't require him. There's a dispensation. If you don't do it, it's fine. You have a mitzvah to do X, but if you don't do it, then the Chachamim are okay with it. Then if you want to do it, that's wonderful. And that's why, for example, if you drink water in the sukkah, you're praised. Why are you praised? Or another case, the Shnos Elio writes, or Vilna Gaon writes, someone's traveling on the road. So technically speaking, if you're traveling, you don't, and you could drink, you know, while you're traveling, but let's say someone's on the road and they don't want to drink until they come to the sukkah. And he says also someone who doesn't need to stop his meal to daven, but he does anyway. All these cases, you're blessed. Why? Because all these cases, there's a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah to eat in the sukkah, to drink in the sukkah. There's a mitzvah to daven. But what? There's a dispensation, you have a leniency, that in these circumstances, we're not going to bother you to do the mitzvah right away or to do the mitzvah in this particular case. So if you want to do it, it's wonderful. And the Vilna Gaon says that actually at the end of the day, the Rishalmi, when they responded to these, when they had the whole discussion and saying why these two cases about the person who stopped for the meal, why it's not a problem, the Rishalmi was just sort of pushing it off, didn't give the real answer. But the real answer, according to Vilna Gaon, is that you can stop a meal to daven, you can chasen, can recite kriyat shema, because in these cases, you're obligated, but there's a dispensation to be lenient. However, when it comes to raining in the sukkah, is there even a mitzvah when it's raining in the sukkah? So the Vilna Gaon is famous for the position. He says this within Tosfos and of Soloveitchik. In his Rishimos, he writes this in Brachos Daf Tezayim and Aleph, he writes this as well, that if when you are mitzvah in the sukkah, so is this just you're distressed in the sukkah, you're uncomfortable in the sukkah, so maybe it's a patur in the gavra, you're uncomfortable, okay, so you're exempt, we're not going to make you stay in the sukkah. However, if it's raining to the extent, and actually you can look at it a different way. You can look at it that if you're mitztayer, that it's not simply a tour in the gavra, this is Rav Soloveitchik writes this explicitly, but it is mahava hafka be'etzem maisa yeshiva. It's not considered yeshiva. It's only yeshiva in the sukkah if if you can sit there in a way when you're not mitztayer. If you're mitztayer and you sit in the sukkah, you haven't done anything. There's no mitzvah at all. Again, it's somewhat subjective, but once you're in a state where you are distressed to sit in the sukkah, then you can only fulfill the mitzvah of sitting in the sukkah when it's basukas teshu kein taduru, when you're living in the sukkah like how you normally would sit in the sukkah. So if you'd run out of your house when it's raining, and now you're sitting in the sukkah when it's raining, it's not even considered a yeshiva basukkah. So there's no mitzvah at all. So that's when you're a fool. When there's a mitzvah, but you have a dispensation, you can be lenient. So then, if you want to be stringent, wonderful. But if there's no mitzvah at all, like when you're mitzvah, when it's pouring rain, so there's no mitzvah at all, so then you don't get any credit for sitting in the sukkah. And therefore, if you do, you are simply a chassid shote, you are a fool. You know, there are other examples that are brought down when you are considered potentially a chassid shote, or you're called a hedjot. The Shvus Yaakov in Chelek Beis, Simon Mem Gimel, writes that when there's a machlokes a poskim, when there's a debate amongst the poskim, and the halacha is like the lenient opinion, and you follow this strict opinion, that you're called a hedjot. The pre-begadim in Eishel Avraham, Tzadi Beis, Sivkatad Beis disagrees. Rav Asher Weiss in Simon Lamed Vav writes that the pre-begadim only argues when it's a machlokes achrodim. It's a machlokes between the Mishnah Brura and Rav Moshe, Shlomo Zalman Orbach, Rav Yashiv, and let's say everyone holds like one Achron, everyone holds like the Gra, everyone holds like the Aruch HaShulchan, whatever the case is, everyone holds like one Achron, and you want to be strict. Everyone holds like the Achron who's lenient, and you want to be strict. So according to Shvus Yaakov, that's a problem of you're a hedjot. According to Prima Gadim, you're not a hedjot. But even the Prima Gadim would agree, says Rav Asher Weiss. Now, let's say it's a machlokas, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. And everyone holds like Beis Hillel. And you say, I want to be strict like Beis Shammai. Then you're called a hedjot. So with all this background, one other example. Tosfos Menachos, Daf Lamed Beis on Beis states that there's a halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai requiring sirtut for mezuzah. What's sirtut for mezuzah? Sirtut is where you have these lines or grooves that are etched into the parchment to facilitate the straight and uncrooked writing of the mezuzah. And the Tosfos says that because there's loy halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai that a mezuzah requires sirtut and not tefillin, says that if you use sirtut for tefillin, then you're called a hedyot. So it's another example of a hedyot. So we discussed different distinctions of when you're called a hedyot, when you're not called a hedyot. Mitzvah b'ayam l'chaver, you're not a hedyot. If it's just to separate yourself from sin, you're not called a hedyot. And then we made the distinction between whether there's a mitzvah and there's an obligation, but a dispensation, you can be lenient, and if you're strict, that's okay. But if there's no mitzvah at all, like sitting in the sukkah, let's say it's not considered yeshiva at all, or maybe like the case of sirtut by tefillin, then you would be called a hedyot. And there's a debate about what about the machlokas achronim, when the halacha is like the lenient person, that's how it's established. But it would seem everyone would agree if like you want to pass like Beis Shammai against Beis Hillel, and Beis Shammai is strict, then this might also be a situation of hedyot. And we also have the Meiri who said, but no, if you're strict because of a sense of musr, or something leading to musr, or some sense of humility, not simply to be strict, but there's some inherent value, spiritual value, while you're being strict, so that may also be a reason to be lenient. What's the basis for those who sit in the sukkah? I believe that some chassidim do sit in the sukkah, even when it's raining. Is there a halachic basis? So there could be two bases for this practice. So number one is, the Ravya writes, he cites in the Mordechai in Brachos, the first perek in Remez Aleph, cites the Ravya who says that if you do something that you don't need to, this has to do with the Zmanim of Kriyat Shema. Also, if you're strict, when everyone is lenient in the area of Kriyat Shema, if you're strict, so then we say that you're considered a hedjot. That's only true. And that's true. Elim kein hurga be precious gam bishar dvarim. if you're someone who's always engaged, in saintly behavior, you're known as someone who's machmir, someone who's strict. That's not your aura. What's your aura? What's the appearance of religious arrogance? Well, you're like everyone else. And this one area where you're totally exempt, you want to be strict, you're just giving off this appearance, potentially, that you're just being holier than thou. But if you're someone who always lives a holier life, a saintly life, and you're consistent, and this chumrah, this stringency is consistent with your position, with your general approach, so then it's not a problem. And the Maran Padua says the same thing. So he also says this in this tshuva, in Siman Lamates, he says that it's yuhara, v'nikra hedyot, imlo shekol ma'asav heim b'chasidus. That he says that if all... You're called the hedyot unless all of your behavior is bachasidus. All everything you do is an act of piety. And he cites the Gemara Brachos Daf Tes Zayin Beis, where Rav Shimon Leil said about the chassan who wants to recite Kriyat Shema, even though he's examined, he says lo kol harotze litol shem yitol. Not everyone who can simply be machmir, be strict. He can be strict, but some people can. If someone lives his whole life in a saintly fashion, in a chumrah type fashion, then he can't be machmir in this as well, because he's being consistent. There's another way to be lenient, and by the way, the Minchas Elazar speaks about this in Chelek Dal, Siman Lamed Aleph, where he says essentially that those people who sit in the sukkah and who, even though it's raining, why are they doing this? They don't feel mitzvah. He writes mirov simchas mitzvah eino margish bigushamim. He's full of simcha, of the mitzvah. He doesn't feel the rain. Ain't a mitzvah. He's not mitzvah. So then, mechuyv leishebal. He has to sit. He is obligated to sit. The gamba bayis imal yelo simcha bebeso. And also in the house, if he was happy being in the house, even if other people would run away from the house if it's raining, he wants to stay in the house. Lo yeholech l'makom achar. He won't go to another place. So what he's saying is that the whole exemption of mitzvah when it comes to sukkah is because it's a lack of simchas yom tov. You won't be in a state of happiness. And in fact, the Be'er Halacha writes this in Tafresh Lamates Siv Zayin, Divrei Maskil V'Chol HaPtur. He says, "Im eino mitztayer, Rashi L'Hachmir." If you're not mitztayer, you're allowed to be strict, because the whole reason if you're mitztayer, If you're suffering in the sukkah, you go inside. It's because there's a lack of simchas yom tov. But if it's pouring rain, but you want to still stay in the sukkah, you want to feel this mitzvah, and you really don't feel the stress, you don't feel the lack of comfort, you're so excited to live in the sukkah, so then that's a justification for it's not for you, it's not a lack of simchas yom tov. You're not mitztayer, and therefore you would fulfill the mitzvah of sukkah even in the rain. Again, the simple understanding is that it's not the case. The Ramah writes that you're not allowed to do that, but this is just to justify the position of those who sit in the sukkah even when it's rain, either because maybe if they live their whole lives in a life of precious, of holiness, of saintliness, so this may be consistent with their behavior, or maybe if they're really not mitztayer, then they can actually fill the mitzvah of sukkah even in the rain.